presentation yesterday at our IPO oral session yesterday. Today she's going to talk with us about preterm birth in the U.S., the importance of preconception, stressful life events, and pregnancy-related determinants. Dr. Wood is an associate professor in the departments of Population Health Sciences, Obstetrics and Gynecology, and Pediatrics, co-director of the Center for Women's Health and Women's and Health Equity Research, and co-director of BioPOP, Integrative Biopsychosocial Research in Population Health, and the PI of the Life Course Epidemiology and Family Health, or LEAF, lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She holds a PhD in health services research and an MPH from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and a BA in Women's Studies and Law from Hampshire College. She completed a postdoc fellowship in the Pediatric Health Services Research Program at the Harvard Medical School, Mass General Hospital for Children. The overarching goal of Dr. Witt's research is to measure and improve the health of women, children, and families. Her research emphasizes social, behavioral, and psychosocial factors that contribute to human development and disparities in health and healthcare in women, children, and families. She applies a life course approach to her research, investigating early life exposures, their long-term effects on health, and how family relationships affect health. So I could go on, but I won't because I want Dr. Witt to get up here. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, and I appreciate your attention and getting up so early today. I know that it's early for a lot of folks. So I want to start with saying that I have no conflicts of interest or financial relationships to disclose. I would like to thank the Health Resources and Services Administration, particularly the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, for funding this study. So this serves as sort of a roadmap of what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to first give you a context in which to understand preterm birth in the United States. Then I'll talk about the study aims, our methods, show you some of our results, and then discuss the study strengths and then some potential limitations, and then close with some conclusions and implications of this work. So in terms of the background, we know that preterm birth is a serious public health problem, and it actually occurs in about 12% of all births in the United States. It significantly contributes to neonatal death in the United States. It's one of the leading causes and contributes substantially to childhood and adult morbidity and mortality. And there's actually been a rise in preterm birth in the U.S. over the last several decades. And this graph, you can see in 2010, about 12% of infants were born preterm. That's about 500,000 babies were born preterm in the United States. And between 2000 and 2010, the rate of infants born preterm in the United States increased more than 3%. So almost three quarters of all preterm births occur spontaneously, and the remainder are a result of medical intervention. So reducing the prevalence of preterm birth has significant implications for the future health and well-being of children and their families, and accordingly, as a national health priority and focus of numerous public health efforts. However, despite extensive research and practice and policy devoted to reducing preterm birth in the United States, the prevalence of preterm birth in the U.S. Remains unacceptably high, suggesting that additional risk factors must be identified in order to improve outcomes. And in particular, maternal stress has been shown to be an important contributor to preterm birth. However, as I'll talk in more in depth, The timing of the exposure in relationship in the relation to preterm birth is unclear. And mounting clinic-based evidence suggests that stress is an important factor in predicting obstetric outcomes. In our recent review, we found of the population-based literature, we found that one, environmental stressors before and during pregnancy were associated with worse obstetric outcomes, including preterm birth, although there were some conflicting findings. And the second conclusion we came to in our review was that there really are very few population-based studies that have examined stress both before and during pregnancy in relation to obstetric outcomes. In addition, there's a well-known U-shaped curve or U-shaped relationship that exists between maternal age and the risk for preterm birth. So you can see over here on the right this U-shaped curve, such that teenagers, so this shows maternal age, and this shows rates of preterm birth, and you can see basically that teenagers and older women seem to have an increased risk for preterm birth. However, whether or not this interaction varies by women's exposure to stress remains unclear. So in terms of our study aims, this study, the purpose of this study was twofold. First, we sought to determine whether and to what extent a woman's exposure to preconception stressful life events was associated with experiencing preterm birth. And second, we wanted to identify whether the association between preconception stressful life events and preterm birth was modified by maternal age. And we wanted to use a nationally representative population-based sample to look at this. So in terms of the methods that we used, data for this study were from the first wave of the early childhood longitudinal survey birth cohort, a nationally representative sample of children born in 2001 and their families. Surveys for the first wave were conducted when the children were approximately 9 months of age. Data were also collected from the child's birth certificate. And this, our final sample was approximately 9,350 mother-child dyads. Our main dependent, the main dependent variable of interest was preterm birth status. We categorized the child's gestational age at birth, reported on the birth certificate in clinical weeks, as preterm, less than 37 weeks, and term, greater than or equal to 37 weeks. The primary independent variable was exposure to stressful life events prior to conception, and specifically we were able to look at the following life events. We were able to look at the death of the respondent's mother, father, spouse, or previous live-born child. We were also able to look at whether or not mothers had experienced a divorce or if they had been separated from a spouse or partner, and then also if they had experienced fertility problems. In addition, we also were interested in looking at the role of stressful life events during pregnancy because the majority of studies have actually focused on this particular time period, and so we also wanted to look at stressful life events during pregnancy. And so we operationalized that as the death of a respondent's mother, father, or spouse if the expecting mom had experienced a divorce during pregnancy or a separation from their spouse or partner. We were also interested in examining a number of other covariates, including health and obstetric factors and some sociodemographic factors. We were interested in looking at pregnancy complications, chronic health conditions, whether or not they had experienced a prior birth or of a preterm or small for gestational age baby, if what their pre-pregnancy body mass index was, when they initiated prenatal care, the infant plurality status, so how many infants were born, their parity. We also wanted to look at the age at delivery, the mother's race and ethnicity, her marital status at delivery, health insurance status, socioeconomic status, and where she lived in the United States. So analyses were conducted using survey procedures from SAS version 9.2, and the standard errors were corrected due to clustering within strata and primary sampling unit. We applied survey weights to produce estimates that account for the complex sampling design, unequal probabilities of selection, and survey non-response. So all of the data that I'm showing you today is based on weighted counts. We generated summary statistics to describe the sample characteristics and used chi-square tests to determine significant differences in sociodemographic characteristics between women who did and did not experience any preconception, stressful life event by infant term status. And then staged multivariable logistic regression models were used to examine the impact of the exposure to preconception stressful life events on infant term status. So in terms of our results, about almost 20% of women experienced a stressful life event prior to conception. The most common preconception stressful life event was divorce, and it occurred in about 10% of the sample, followed by the death of the respondent's father in about 5.5% of the sample, and death of the respondent's mother, almost 3% of the sample. Almost 11% of infants were born preterm in the United States in 2001. The mean length of gestation was 38.8 weeks. Exposure to PSLEs was more common among women with preterm infants than among women with term infants. You can see here 24.2% versus 19.2%. Compared with mothers of children born at term, mothers of children born preterm were more likely to have experienced a pregnancy complication, to have experienced a chronic condition, have had a prior preterm or small for gestational age baby. They were more likely to deliver multiples. They were more likely to have initiated prenatal care after the first trimester. They were more likely to be Black, non-Hispanic, have never been married, more likely to be publicly insured, of low socioeconomic status, and they were more likely to be teenagers. They were less likely to be of the age range of between 25 and 29 years compared with mothers who gave birth to a term infant. So adjusted analyses revealed a statistically significant interaction between preconception stressful life events and continuous age. And when we examined this interaction categorically, meaning categorical age, we found that the effect of preconception stressful life events on preterm birth was strongest actually for women aged 15 to 19 years. And you can see here the odds ratio of 4.32, and that is statistically significant. And this effect diminished as women increased in age. Women aged 35 years and older had higher odds of delivering a preterm infant than women aged 25 to 29 years, regardless of their exposure to preconception stressful life events. So I'm going to just explain this slide a little bit because it can be a little confusing. These are adjusted odds ratios, and they don't share the same reference category for the exposure. Each odds ratio here represents the association between preconception stressful life events and preterm status within each age category. So for instance, the first odds ratio there circled, 3.85, can be interpreted as the adjusted odds of preterm birth associated with the exposure to preconception stressful life events among women 15 to 19 years at delivery. And then the last odds ratio can be, the 0.94 can be interpreted as the adjusted odds of preterm birth associated with the exposure to PSLEs among women aged 35 and older. And so We also found some other interesting results, and so this is all part of the same model that I'm showing you. We did see an increased odds of preterm birth among those who had experienced pregnancy complications, who had, and this is adjusting for all of this is a multivariable model, so this is adjusting for all of the variables I spoke about earlier. If they had had a prior child born preterm or a small for gestational age baby, if they had been, they delivered multiples, if they were black, non-Hispanic race, were of Hispanic ethnicity, or had low socioeconomic status. So we still see significant disparities, despite including a lot of these really important psychosocial factors. We also conducted a sensitivity analysis that I'll talk about briefly to look at the timing of women's exposure to preconception stressful life events. And so we found that there was an interaction between preconception stressful life events and younger age, such that when the preconception stressful life event occurred within a year prior to conception, the odds was even higher for those younger women, so almost an 11-fold increased risk. Women who were exposed to any PSLEs 1 year or more prior to conception and were within the 20 to 24 age range or 30 years or older also had a greater risk of preterm birth than women aged 25 to 29 years old without such an event. So in summary, this study contributes to the literature and has really three main findings. First, our study suggests that the magnitude of the effect of preconception stressful life events on preterm birth varies by maternal age, and this effect heterogeneity may partially explain the established U-shaped relationship between maternal age and preterm birth. Second, the findings indicate that the association between preconception stressful life events and preterm birth was strongest among women aged 15 to 19 years, suggesting that adolescence may be a sensitive period for the risk for preterm birth for teens who have been exposed to PSLEs, highlighting a potentially important period for interventions aimed at reducing preterm birth. Finally, we found that racial and ethnic disparities in preterm birth persisted even after accounting for preconception stressful life events and a host of covariates, informing us that future research regarding racial and ethnic disparities in preterm birth is really needed. So I'll quickly highlight some of the study strengths and potential limitations. This is really the first population-based study to investigate the relationship between preconception stressful life events and preterm birth in the U.S. We were able to look at the independent effects of stress both before and during pregnancy, and its relationship to preterm birth. We were also the first to investigate whether the relationship between preconception stressful life events and preterm birth varied by maternal age. However, there are a few potential limitations that should be considered when interpreting our findings. First, children who died before 9 months of age were not eligible to participate in the ECLSB. So our study is therefore likely to exclude children with the worst birth outcomes, so stillbirth or neonatal death, and so there's a potential survival bias leading to conservative estimates in our study. Second, the birth certificate data may underreport or incorrectly report some of the information. Similarly, we relied on self-reported data for factors such as pre-pregnancy body mass index, which may have biased our estimates in really an unknown direction. The ECLSB collects limited data on stressful life events, so that's something to keep in mind when interpreting our findings, is that we were not able to look at a whole host of stressful life events that might have affected different populations in different ways. So it might not have comprehensively captured the spectrum of stressors that women experience. So in conclusion, adolescent exposure to preconception stressful life events may account for a large portion of the established risk of preterm birth among teen mothers. Adolescence and early adulthood may be a sensitive period for the risk of preterm birth when teens are exposed to preconception, stressful life events, and we also need additional work in understanding these persisting disparities. And then finally, the findings have several important implications for the field. First, the results suggest that clinical, programmatic, and policy interventions need to shift their focus upstream to focus on the entire life course, including women's childhoods and the preconception period. And the preconception period is really becoming more of a focus and in women's health, and we're starting to understand how important it is to really know the health of women before they enter pregnancy. And then finally, I should say that there are important clinical implications, particularly in providing care to pregnant teens, especially those who have been exposed to a preconception stressful life event. And along these lines, pediatricians and OBGYNs should strive to administer preconception care to this population in order to improve birth outcomes. Thank you very much. I want to take a moment to thank my co-authors, Drs. Chang and Wisk and Litzelman, Deb Chatterjee, Kara Mandel, and Dr. Wakil. Thank you very much.